DW.
Of course, this planetary heat wave is putting not only German farmers under pressure. To give us a global perspective on the impacts of drought on agriculture, I spoke with Alex Jones, director of the Climate and Environment Division of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. I began by asking him if there are certain drought hotspots globally where agriculture has been hit particularly hard.
What we've seen unusually this summer is exceptionally high temperatures in Northern Europe, which is counterintuitive. You would think that higher latitudes would be better protected. At the same time, Southern Europe hasn't been particularly hard hit. You have to remember that we're going through what is called an La Niña year, which is the counter year to the El Niño, so it's actually supposed to be cooler and wetter. But climate irregularity is the new normal, so it's very hard to predict what's going to happen. All it takes is a couple of degrees more and a bit less rain, and agriculture is in trouble.
Other regions of the world in the past years that have been hit hard?
Well, obviously, the areas that are most vulnerable to this are the ones that are already marginal. So the Mediterranean region in particular, the Sahel, of course, is very badly hit. The Near East, any area that has scarce water and high temperatures to start with gets knocked over the edge more sensibly. So what could be, let's say, one quarter crop loss in a place like Germany would be a total crop loss, for example, in the Maghreb in Northern Africa.
So looking at this global heat wave that's impacting farmers, how are farmers coping? How can they cope?
It's very hard for farmers to cope once you're midway through a cycle, especially if you're on a long cycle crop like cereals, if you planted wheat or maize. Once it's in the ground, there's absolutely nothing you can do except maybe irrigate a bit more, but even that's not going to reduce the wilt. It's more about having better information. Putting in seeds which are more resilient, might have a little bit less yield, but are better, trying to outguess the cycles, and I would say especially spreading your risk, not focusing exclusively on one crop, but multi-cropping and increasing your biodiversity in the field so that there are different crops and you hedge your risk against a total failure.
So taking a bit of a broader time horizon, looking in the years to come, perhaps the decades to come, could drought cause food shortages and famines? And what regions are most at risk?
Well, absolutely, yes, it can, of course, cause famines. I mean, the estimate in FAO is that we have 830 million people who are currently food insecure. They do not have enough food to eat every day without this kind of shortage. At the same time, we also know that we produce more than enough food in the world to feed everybody, but there are redistribution problems, and about one-third of all food is lost at transformation stages. So there is a lot of slack to be picked up there. But obviously, decrease in production could be a major factor. We're also looking at the issue of nutrient depletion. Climate change or CO2 changes in the air is having an impact on the nutrient content of food. So some cereals have about 10% less protein. They have less minerals, less vitamins. So it's not just a question of how much food, but of the quality of that food.
Is drought going to become the new normal for farmers?
Unfortunately, variability is going to become the new norm. So too much rain one year, drought the next year, freezing temperatures the next year, and then a really good year the next year. That's the biggest problem. If we had a constant trend where we knew that the temperature was going to go up by 2 degrees and stay there, we can deal with that. Humans can deal with all this kind of stuff, and 2 degrees is manageable. The problem is that variability, extreme weather events, cyclones, hurricanes, rainfall, hailfall, high temperatures in August in Northern Europe, the unpredictability is the hardest element, and it seems that unpredictability is here to stay.
And the solutions are within our reach, but why aren't they being tapped into?
Well, they're expensive, and farmers are already often very stressed in terms of barely making a profit. And of course, in a year like this, where they're probably going to lose money because of the drought, to come in and say, well, we want you to invest more money in, you know, limited tillage or zero tillage equipment. Of course, they're going to say, are you crazy? I'm already in debt. How can I do that? So it's about finding the collective will and making sure that everybody's playing on a level playing field. Because, of course, if the farmers in Germany do this, but their neighbors in another country don't, then they'll be at a competitive risk. So we all need to agree on certain standards so that it's a level playing field and we can make these investments.
Was that in the Paris Agreement? Did it include the agricultural sector?
Unfortunately not. The Paris Agreement did not mention agriculture. And however, since then, there's been huge progress. There was a big discussion at the Marrakesh COP called the Marrakesh Partnership, which agreed to come up with an agricultural component. And at the COP last year in Bonn, in last October, there was what is called the Coronivia Joint Work on Agriculture. It's a bit of a mouthful, which is an agreement that all the parties to COP will work together for 2 years on five focus areas in agriculture and come up with standards to be included in the Paris Agreement on agriculture.
So there are things in the works, but as you say, the will just needs to coagulate on it.
There's a lot in the works, and I think there's a very strong push. What we need is to speed it up, because we don't have 2 decades to work on this. We really need to get results within a few years, otherwise it'll be too late.
DW.